The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Understand how healing works? By understanding the process, we can not only heal ourselves, but understand why. Welcome to the Healing Power Hour with host Suzanne Hill. In our program, we will show you the healing modalities and approaches that you can use to heal yourself, no matter the illness or the symptoms. Now, here is your host, Suzanne Hill.
Hello, everyone. This is Suzanne Hill, and welcome back to the Healing Power Hour. Thanks so much for tuning in. I wanted to let everyone know that this is going to be my last show for the season, and then I'm going to be taking a short break. I have loved creating the Healing Power Hour and working with my guests to create meaningful content for all of you listeners, and the feedback we've gotten has been tremendous. The listening audience has grown to over 5,000 listeners in a mere 3 months, so thank you for tuning in, and thank you for all of your positive feedback. I also wanted to thank Voice America for working so hard to help me make this show a success. I'm not sure exactly when I'm going to be resuming, but you can check in at my website, www.turtlebayacupuncture.com, and I'll keep you posted. So for the last show of the season, I wanted to go out with a bang and talk about soul purpose. Because as an acupuncturist and healer who works with a wide range of health issues, I found that when people are not intimately connected with their soul purpose, their reason for being, and why they're here on the planet, this lack of connection can facilitate energetic disturbances in the body that then plant the seeds for health issues to arise and develop over time. So I've developed and titled today's show, Finding and Connecting to Your Soul Purpose. And to explore this issue of soul purpose, I've invited Christy Walker, Master Astrologer, to be my guest today. Now, just so you know, I'm the one who calls Christy a master astrologer. That's something she would never call herself. In fact, she's probably cringing as these words come out of my mouth. But I call her that because it's true. I've known Christy for almost 12 years now, and I can say hands down that she is one of the best astrologers I have ever worked with. Christy is an astrologer who has been studying her field for about 40 years and has been actively seeing clients for about 20 of those years. And what I find most compelling about Christy's readings is that she's not an astrologer who focuses on predictive astrology, telling you things like you're going to have a house by the beach. And I'm not trying to be facetious here. Some astrologers do focus on those kinds of things, and there's nothing inherently wrong with that. But for my purposes in working with patients, that kind of information isn't the most useful. What I do find helpful about Christy's readings is that she really uses it as a tool for consciousness, and one of her primary areas of expertise is what she calls soul mapping. I translate soul mapping as something that helps you figure out why you are here on the planet, what you came here to grow, do, and learn, and what the purpose and point to your relationships with the significant others in your life is. So when I found out that Christy did this type of astrology, I asked her if she'd be willing to work with my acupuncture patients who were at critical junctures in their lives to help them connect to their soul purpose and stay on their path. Because as an empath, I can put my hands on a patient and feel what their soul purpose is, but it becomes more meaningful to a patient when someone like Christy actually sits down with them and clearly delineates this purpose in detail. And Christy was more than happy to work with my patients in this capacity, and we both learned a lot from this partnership. And over the past decade, I think my patients have benefited greatly from the insights she's been able to help them acquire. So Christy is going to be joining us at about 20 past the hour. So please do stay tuned for that. It's going to be an interesting conversation. Okay, so let's move on now to soul purpose. Most people think that soul purpose is primarily about what you're supposed to be doing with your life. Yes, it is that, but it's also about what your lessons that your soul has to learn. So, of course, there are many soul purposes when you look at it from that perspective, because we all have a lot to learn. But usually what I find is that there is a key lesson that an individual has come to learn that is perhaps the hardest lesson for them to learn. that keeps showing up again and again and again in every aspect of their lives. For example, I have a patient, her name is Helen, whose sole purpose is to learn to connect to her emotional self. Now, if you grew up in a family where expressing emotions was a natural part of your way of being, this whole lesson seems like a no-brainer. But for Helen, who was raised in an Asian household where thinking was paramount to feeling, it wasn't a no-brainer for her. Helen lived her life by tirelessly putting her nose to the grindstone and accomplishing as much as she could in life. So when Helen came to me for treatment, she had accomplished quite a bit, but she was depressed. She had advanced degrees, made a nice living, and had a lovely family, and so forth, but her relationship to her work always left her feeling an emptiness inside. After every next great achievement, whether it was another advanced degree or a promotion at work, it left her feeling numb and disconnected, and she didn't know why that was. And the reason for this feeling of emptiness was that Helen's major soul purpose was to connect to her emotions and learn how to feel. It wasn't about external success. So with every external success that she did achieve, instead of feeling excitement and enthusiasm, she felt hollow inside. And where this also manifested in her life was that her relationship to her husband and her children was rather functional. She did her duty to them, but somehow she also felt empty in this exchange. So I referred her to Christy, who then showed her through the astrology how her early childhood experiences had reinforced her soul's inability to express and connect to emotion, and showed her why this was important. And how Christy worked with Helen was to reveal to her through the astrological charts how the different aspects of her life would best be approached. And this helped to expand Helen's perception of how she viewed and contexted her life. Now, Christy and I both worked with Helen over the course of 2 years, and through a combination of acupuncture and astrology, Helen slowly, and I mean ever so slowly, started understanding what it even meant to connect to her emotions and learn what it meant to feel, something she really never understood before. Acupuncture is helpful in this regard because the numbness held in the body that prohibits one from feeling can start to unthaw through the use of the needles. Fast forward 8 years later, and Helen has a much more fulfilling relationship to her work and her family because she can now feel as much as she can think. She looks back now at how she was 8 years ago and laughs because she remembers how disconnected she was. So I just wanted to give you this as an example because it shows how someone can work really hard, be dedicated in their life, and do everything within their power to make their life right. But if they miss the key soul lesson, there's always going to be an underlying feeling that something is off, and they don't experience a genuine satisfaction in their life, and they don't know why. And I also wanted to give you an example of how astrology can be used in a really focused way to help you transform your life. So there are a couple things I wanted to address about astrology before I bring Christy on the show. Number one, many people think that astrology is a ridiculous fantasy for those of us who like living in a new age unreality. I'm sorry, I'm hearing something on the road. But the truth is that astrology is actually a science based on about 5,000 years of hard data. In ancient times, astrology and astronomy were both considered one branch of study, that being the science of the planets, the stars, and the constellations. Each of the planets carry their own frequency, which has an energetic effect on the universe. And the position of these planets in the sky at particular points in time will then create a different energetic background in which we all live. And this influences us as human beings. The astronomers / astrologers used to chart the position of the planets and then also record what events were happening in the world at that time, whether it was wars, drought, famine, and so forth. And over thousands of years, very specific correlations were drawn as to what influences each of the planets had on world events and on humans, and particularly how relationships between the planets would exert certain energetic influences. So on the full moon, such and such is more likely to occur when Jupiter is in this position in the sky, and so forth. Now, in Western society, up until the Inquisition, all the famous astronomers were also astrologers. But after the Inquisition, astrology and astronomy were bifurcated, and astrology was suppressed. And the astronomers had to stop doing astrology for fear of being executed. So I did want to address that concern for people who often say to me, "You seem like a smart person. How can you believe in astrology?" I often wonder what it is that makes people afraid to incorporate a new concept such as astrology into their lives, particularly after they learn that there is a scientific basis to it. And what I've been able to discern is that sometimes if people are introduced to a new concept that would radically alter how they see and experience the world, it can really be overwhelming. So very often they choose to ignore or deny this new information because they're afraid of the change that would come in their lives with the integration of that new information. It makes me think of a conversation I once had with my older son, Ethan, who several years back was going through a period where he was both embarrassed and ashamed of the work I do. Acupuncture and energy work is still an alternative concept for many people here in New York City, and Ethan just wanted to be quote-unquote normal and use prescription drugs just like everyone else, in his perception, did. And I said to Ethan, well, think about Christopher Columbus. Christopher Columbus was off to explore the New World and had a passion and an enthusiasm about it. But as he was set to sail off, there were many people standing at the dock shouting, "Don't go, you'll fall off the edge of the world and be swallowed by monsters." Because at the time, most people thought that the world was flat. And I said to my son, Ethan, I want to be more like Christopher Columbus and explore the New World. I don't want to be that person standing on the dock shouting, "Don't go." Who would you rather be? And to his credit, Ethan was very honest with me, and he said, "Well, Mom, I'd like to say that I want to be Christopher Columbus, but I actually feel more like the person standing on the dock." So I invite you listeners, at least for the rest of this hour, to be like Christopher Columbus and see what it's like to explore the new world. Now, secondly, I also wanted to address the issue that some people who are religious have with astrology, because it says in the Bible that Jesus threw the soothsayers, the fortune tellers, and the astrologers out of the temple. And so certain people of Christian faith, as well as Jewish faith, and others, think that it's wrong to consult with astrologers. And what I'd like to say to that is that, in my opinion, it really depends on intent. The highest level of astrologer will use it as a tool for consciousness. They will neither present their readings nor allow you to make use of the readings as a way to relinquish responsibility about the choices you make in your life. And when you're trying to develop a spiritual life, consciousness is the key. Astrological chart is very much like nautical charting. If you're a sailor and set sail from New York to Florida, you're going to want to have your nautical charts that show where the rocks are, where the sandbars are, where the rough tides are going to be and when, and where the smooth sailing is going to be. This helps you to have the best possible journey. An astrological chart is no different than this. It's not going to tell you how your sailing is going to be, but it will point out where potential pitfalls are, when certain times are going to be easier than others to get something done, and so forth, so that you can have the best possible journey in your life on this planet. It's absolutely not about relinquishing responsibility for decision making. So I do encourage you, if you choose to use astrology as a tool, please use it primarily as a tool for consciousness. And lastly, I wanted to talk about the concept of fate. Many people are afraid to look into the science of astrology because of the notion that if an astrologer looks at my chart and tells me what my life's going to be like, well, then what's the point of my living my life? It's already predetermined. Well, that's not really how it works. While some people would like to believe in a fixed destiny when that destiny is a good one, and would like to believe that the concept of destiny doesn't exist if that destiny is not a good one, the truth is that fixed destinies don't actually exist. All the astrological charts do is to present the most likely scenarios based on your current energy. Now, I used the example of astrological charts being like nautical charts earlier, but the one big difference is that, unlike nautical charts, astrological charts are based on energy. So if your energy is at a particular frequency and you get a reading done, and then you work to transform your energy in major ways, and then you get another reading done, that second reading will be radically different. For example, if you go to an astrologer who sees no love relationship in your life for the next 2 years, but it's something that you really want and desire for yourself, you can then work to shift your energy. You can meditate, you can go to acupuncture, therapy, yoga, you can also change your diet, and most importantly, you can shift the way you see yourself and the world. And then if you go back for a reading, a relationship opportunity could absolutely show up in your chart in that second reading. And the same is true for avoiding illness or money problems or any other pitfalls that might show up in one's life. It's all based on our own energy, and that is always mutable and changeable through our own free will, so please know that. So I wanted to address those three concerns that people have often brought to me regarding astrology so that you can listen to my interview with Christy with an open mind. But getting back to soul purpose before we bring Christy on the show, I just wanted to circle back and say that, again, the reason why I focus so much on soul purpose with patients is that if you don't find out what your soul lessons are and really take them on in life, then it can be very hard to achieve what you want to in life. And if you do achieve a lot, but you don't learn what's on your soul agenda, then no matter how much you achieve, you're going to feel that despite these achievements, somehow there's still an emptiness or yearning inside of you. Your therapist might tell you that this feeling of emptiness comes from not having learned to appreciate or connect to your achievements, or that you don't know how to truly value or acknowledge what you've done, and that might be part of it for sure. But the other part is that perhaps you haven't taken on what you really came here to learn. So with that, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I'm going to be talking with Christy Walker, Master Astrologer. His website is celestialriver.wordpress.com. Please stay tuned. Thank you so much.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
Tune in to Your Health Workshop weekly for the most up-to-date information and support on a variety of health issues. Host Mary Shulman, a best-selling author and patient advocate, will speak with guests and answer your questions on items like thyroid issues, hair loss, hormone balance, diet, and more. We'll bring you the support and tools so that you can be educated on what to do next when visiting your doctor and other medical professionals. Your Health Workshop airs live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness.
No matter what our age is, health deserves our utmost attention. But how do you achieve optimal wellness? Tune in to Ask Lorna Live. Your host, Lorna Vanderhaeg, will provide research-backed solutions that will have you feeling fit and fabulous. It all comes down to hormones. We'll show you how it works with mainstream medicine along with nutritional medicine. Listen for Ask Lorna Live every Wednesday at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to the Healing Power Hour with Suzanne Hill. To connect with the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer, you may send an email to turtlebayacupuncture@gmail.com. Now, back to the Healing Power Hour.
Welcome back to the Healing Power Hour. I'm Suzanne Hill, and I'm here with Christy Walker, astrologer, who's going to help us explore this concept of soul purpose. Christy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
So let's start at the beginning, Christy. As an astrologer, can you tell our listeners how you would define soul purpose? Can you add anything to how I've described it?
Well, to be clear, the ultimate soul purpose for all human beings is quite broad for each of us. It's about oneness or union with the divine and with one's own divine nature, ultimately. Whether you call this divine nature your higher self or spiritual self or spirit, it's all the same thing. And additionally, our purpose is to find oneness with all of creation. This is what we as human beings are engineered for compared with animals and other life forms on Earth. And this is actually what the next step forward in our group evolution as human beings is. The human race is ready at this point in time to start incarnating and integrating our highest self. And so this is what we're all working toward in our own small way. And of course, to love and be loved is always a part of this purpose.
Good to know.
Yes. Now, that said, depending on where we each are on the wheel of samsara, and for those of you who may not know this word, samsara is a Sanskrit word for perpetual suffering. You don't even want to get it out, right? In the endless cycle of existence, the samsaric wheel is the wheel we eventually want to get off of, by the way. And this is why people spend time working on attaining enlightenment, because this is how we get off the wheel, through enlightenment. So depending on where we each are on this wheel of samsara in this particular lifetime, we're each working on developing and mastering specific soul qualities that we've never developed before, or we're working on taking these specific soul qualities to a further level of service to others, perhaps.
Can you give an example of that?
Absolutely. So, for example, let's say someone is working on developing their Libra North Node, because that's the North Node is one of the places you look for this in the chart. And the Libra North Node has to do with cultivating beauty and harmony, among other things. So this person might first express it through dressing and presenting her physical appearance with grace, harmony, and beauty, to really get a feel for those qualities and what it's like to embody them. But then she may discover an art form like music or singing, and that she delves into this same feeling of beauty, grace, and harmony that she's already experienced in a different but more absorbing and expansive way with them. Like, for example, through becoming an opera singer, perhaps. Mm-hmm. In astrology, the good news is soul purpose is not about achievement, perfection, and accomplishment. It's about taking minute steps every day to develop the place where our soul is learning something entirely new and growing. And it's usually uncomfortable for us, particularly when we first take these qualities on to develop them. These qualities don't usually come naturally to us, and we're often a bit stumped about where exactly to begin developing them because they're so new to us.
So how do we start developing them?
It works best to approach these qualities like when we first learn to walk or when we first learn to ride a bike. You just want to throw yourself into trying to experience and embody that quality without exactly knowing how to do it beforehand. And you just keep trying and trying and trying. Mm-hmm. And then, and only then, usually when you feel like a complete idiot, by the way, from falling down so many times, only at that point does a grace and a flow kick in. And what I mean by this is that in these moments, you go well beyond your mind. You find yourself flying down that block on your bike, this incredible thrill pulsing through your body like you're being carried along on your bike by some force. And then in a flash, you register what it feels like to do this exactly for the first time. And then your bike falls over and you pick it up and you go at it all over again. It's a lot like that movie, Groundhog Day, with Bill Murray, if you've ever seen it.
Yes, great movie.
Yeah, it's a terrific movie, particularly about the struggle of the soul to embody positive qualities, because it shows how hard it actually is to do so and how many times we need to practice before we can actually incorporate and integrate these qualities, both willingly and naturally, into our lives. It shows how it happens in tiny increments, and most importantly, how useful it is to develop a really good sense of humor about ourselves and the process.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we are all in the same boat on this one. No matter where you are in your path, soul purpose is completely equal opportunity.
Well, so everything that you've just said is really about concentrating on the development of one's character then, and maybe not necessarily about a particular outcome of a goal.
Yes. The basic gist of soul purpose is exactly about developing characters that embody these specific soul qualities that then allow your highest self to express through them. However, for some people, their astrological chart might specify expressing these qualities through external actions in the world at large or society, while for others, the focus might be more internal or may have more to do with the focus within their own family. It's completely different for each person. Every chart is unique. But one thing that's common is that according to astrology, soul purpose isn't glamorous. It's nitty-gritty and about as real as it gets. But one of my favorite things about soul purpose is that it's not about getting it right. All you have to do is try, however much you might be flailing around with it. And in that trying, you will find that a flow of grace and blessings floods into your life. And by the way, whether you believe it or not, in this area, we have so much help from the unseen and so much assistance from our guides, guardian angels, and all sorts of beautiful beings to help us learn these soul qualities. In fact, soul purpose is one of the few areas in life where you can really take one small step of trying, even if you feel like you have no idea what you're doing or how to do it, and grace literally pours in and carries you along in a flow. So, your intent and desire are keys to this process, and this cannot be emphasized enough. When you align your desire with the intent to develop a particular positive aspect of your being, that is the most important thing, because eventually the result will follow if your desire and intent are pure and honest and true.
Well, I completely understand what you're saying, but one thing I do go through with patients on this aspect is that it's really hard to keep working on something without a positive result in the near term. And, you know, particularly these days when people want things right away, and you're alluding to the fact that people will see results, but is that really true?
Yeah, no, you really need perseverance and determination when working on these aspects of the soul. It's true. But one thing to keep in mind is that according to astrology, soul purpose is big picture. It's not one particular job, career, relationship, or even about external recognition or success in the world, though for some people it might be configured that way in their charts. It's more like the theme in the epic novel of your life. This through thread off which all the plot lines, subplots, major and minor characters, settings, etc., hang and connect to. What holds them all together, if you will, in the story of your life? And the idea is to choose and create a relationship, career, and life decisions by whether or not they will help you develop these particular soul qualities or not. Another way that can be useful to think about soul purpose is like the bow of a ship, cutting through illusions and karmic patterns. In my line of work, there are two words that often come up, Maya and samskaras. The first one, Maya, is also a Sanskrit word, and it means illusion. And there are illusions that we all get caught up with in this world, things we think are truths, but turn out not to be. The second word, samskaras, basically means our karmic patterns or already imprinted ways of doing things, many of which are just not helpful to our soul. So as we develop these new soul qualities, we're using the momentum from the development of them to cut through these illusions and patterns through the Maya and the samskaras to move ourselves forward in our own soul's evolution. Just to reiterate, according to astrology, this is a lifetime process. We get to fumble around and learn through experience by making lots of mistakes. It's not about achieving it by a certain age or even within a certain time frame. But on the other hand, soul purpose never lets up. It's an ongoing process.
Sure.
And when you master one level of a certain quality your soul is working on, you definitely want to celebrate. And then you will be moving on to the next level. But honestly, when you're connecting to your true soul purpose, you do get results pretty quickly if you just try. You feel it immediately, and it really feels good. You don't have to wait long for that if you do really try. When people feel like they're trying and trying and trying without any results, it's usually because they're focusing on the wrong thing. They're avoiding developing the soul qualities that they specifically came here to work on.
So like Helen, our patient, when she was focusing on the external and she was doing all these things, but it was the wrong thing to focus on. I mean, it's not only wrong that she focused on it, but because she wasn't focusing on her internal qualities, she was depressed.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, keep in mind that once we're aligned with our true soul purpose, the hardest part is pushing through whatever resistance we have to just try. And once we try, then it kicks in, like endorphins when we exercise. And each person's natal or birth chart is so great because it shows you specifically what these qualities are for you to develop that will most move your soul forward this time around.
So that's the exciting part about working with astrologer. I wanted you to move on to the actual charting. Now, soul purpose is a non-tangible aspect of one's being, and yet it's a very real thing. Is it easy to see a client's soul purpose in the chart? And can any astrologer read it, or do you have to know where to look?
Okay, I'm going to start with your first question. Okay. Soul purpose does feel intangible, that's right. And yet at the same time, it's one of the realest things in the sense that it's ever present throughout our lives and never goes away. And yes, it's in every person's birth chart, but you need to find an astrologer who's trained very specifically to read this in a chart. It's not common in the sense that it's not in the basic course repertoire of astrology. It's more like a neurosurgery specialization in med school. Not everybody gets that training. And at least in Western astrology, it's relatively new or recently revived as an area of knowledge and study. So I'm trained in and enjoy working with a broad range of astrological techniques, but soul purpose happens to be one of my specialties. I've studied astrology for over 40 years now, and I didn't get into the area of soul purpose until about 15 years ago. Astrology is a vast, incredibly difficult, and humbling study because gathering knowledge about it takes you into the very essence of space and time and creation, but in a way that's rooted in mathematics and science. I began focusing on soul purpose because when I was first learning about it, I shared the information with a client who was very frustrated in her life and with herself. And in fact, she was in a lot of personal pain. And the particular soul quality she was developing had to do with nurturing herself and developing feminine, maternal qualities, and also connecting with her emotions and being vulnerable. When I shared with her about what these specific soul qualities were for her, she felt very drawn to them, almost like she needed permission to focus on this. And she really took them on very enthusiastically and worked very hard. And it blew me away how doing this transformed all the areas of her life. Her marriage, which was already good and loving, suddenly became galvanized with a sense of purpose. And she and her husband really became a team. And down the road, they eventually had a child and created a family together. She transformed her career, which was pretty aimless before. She started on a new track, went on to get a PhD in this area, and now she has work that's very fulfilling to her, even on the difficult days. And lastly, she was able to transform her sense of self. She's much stronger and more confident and loves herself tremendously more. It was really incredible to watch. And when I saw this, I said, oh my God, there's something to this area. I need to delve into it more and present it.
Well, that's an inspiring story. That's really great. Can you give some examples of patients who have been far off of their soul purpose and what that looks like in their lives?
Well, let me first say that what I've noticed in working with clients over the last 20 years is that for all of us, honestly, the biggest deterrent to aligning with our soul purpose is our own ego. You might think it would be karmic trauma or difficult aspects that show up in the astrological chart. But no, actually, the biggest thing pulling people off their soul purpose is their own ego. And what I mean by that is there are certain times in our lives when we might think we know it all or that we're done with our learning in this lifetime. Fortunately, this is when our ego gets in the way and can really hinder our spiritual growth and take us off our path. Because the truth is that we're never done working with or on our soul purpose. This is a beautiful gift, though sometimes it doesn't.
Sure, it doesn't feel like such a beautiful gift, right?
Exactly. Another thing is that sometimes we're overly concerned about looking good, be it to ourselves or to others. We want to look good to our spouses, to our family, to our community, and so forth. And of course, we all want to be proud of ourselves, and we want those who love us to be proud of us. That's a natural human desire. But when it becomes more important for us to look good to ourselves and others than it is to be truthful about where we really are in our growth and development, that's when we can get ourselves into trouble. Because the truth is actually never hidden. And even if it's on a very deep level, we all know that.
So we're going to have to go to break soon. But before we go, can you quickly give an example of this?
Absolutely. I had a client who was very successful in his business. He was at the peak of his career, married with two kids. And by all standards, anyone looking at him from the outside would say that he had had a good life. But what made this life not so good is that there's a very palpable absence of heart in his life. And what I mean by that is that inside at the deepest level, he really felt pretty empty and bored. And for this man, his true soul purpose was not to accrue possessions or to control others in situations through power, but it was the opposite, to let go and be passionate and be intimate and share his power and resources in those intimate relationships. And had he taken that on, he would have had to enter into territory that was totally new for him, emotional territory. And this really terrified him.
Sure.
So it was safer for him to stay in the area he was already good at and where success came easy. But it was a lost opportunity because the reason he was so good at it was that he'd done it all before.
Right.
So if he had taken that on, his life would have been much richer and he would have felt like a real excitement about life, a satisfaction with himself, his marriage, his children, that would have given him a profound sense of abundance that he could count on to be there through him through all the ups and downs of life.
Okay, I got it. Well, listen, thank you. We're going to have to go to break now, but when we come back, we're going to pick up to everyone who's listening. We're talking with Christy Walker, astrologer, and please stay tuned.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Cancer is not something to be taken lightly, but instead of being talked at by doctors, medical providers, and others, wouldn't it be nice to hear from a host who has worked at the Cancer Coalface for 38 years as a caregiver, supporter for 14,000 patients, and who has had the experience of having a life-threatening condition herself? You will hear the stories of survivors and other people who work in breakthrough cancer medicine. Navigating the Cancer Maze with host Grace Galler will help you with the facts, planning, and grief experienced with different forms and stages of cancer. Listen every Friday at 12 noon U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Better communication means better relationships in every sense of the word. When you communicate more effectively and interact more effectively, your life is lived more effectively.
Tune in to Talk Time with Trish, featuring host Trish Ferrante and co-host Lisa Stewart. Our program is all about the human element. We are all comprised of parts and stuff that we may be aware of or others may be aware of. When we become aware of what others are aware of, it means more to us. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to the Healing Power Hour with Suzanne Hill. To connect with the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer, you may send an email to turtlebayacupuncture@gmail.com. Now, back to the Healing Power Hour.
Welcome back to the Healing Power Hour. I'm Suzanne Hill, and I'm here with Christy Walker, Master Astrologer, and we've been discussing soul purpose and what it looks like when someone is off of their soul purpose. So continuing this line of discussion, Christy, if someone continues to avoid their soul purpose, what's the most likely scenario for their future?
This is a tricky question. I'll tell you why. Our society and culture as it is today doesn't exactly value soul purpose or encourage or rewarding any of us for living and working on it. I know that might sound like a strong statement, but if you go into any of the schools these days and talk to parents about their children's future, most parents are not so concerned about their children being on a path of self-discovery and enlightenment. Most parents want their children to be on a path of success.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. In the spiritual realm, self-discovery and self-realization are two of the highest intents an individual can hold for themselves. But the fear that many parents have that their children will be failures often propels them to push their children into doing things, learning things, doing sports and what have you, that the children may not want to do. Now, I know sometimes kids say they don't want to do anything, and I'm not talking about normal childhood resistance to trying new things.
Which can be quite strong.
Exactly. It'd be hard to discern them. But I am talking about when a parent has a vision for the child that the child doesn't hold for themselves. And the cost of this parental pushing is that many times children end up becoming adults who don't know who they are because they've spent the first 20 years or so of their lives trying to be who their parents wanted them to be.
Sure.
The cruel thing about this approach is that even though these children then grow up to be adults who might be miserable and feel something is missing in their lives, often these people will just power through their lives with their will. And they may not notice that they're miserable, or it may take a long time for them to notice how disconnected they are from their true selves. And the reason that it takes a while for them to notice is that worldly success that they've achieved can really distract them from the feeling that something's missing. But sooner or later, that nasty feeling that something is missing usually does come back to haunt them. But as far as soul purpose is concerned, it's very much like school. In fact, planet Earth is one big fat university. If you don't develop the soul qualities that are purposeful for you to learn this time around, next time around, you still have the same assignment.
Sure.
And the downside to that is that your situation around it will be much more difficult than you had it this time, because that karma accrues. And when you avoid the lesson, it gets pretty weighty. Now, if someone really continues to avoid aligning with their true purpose, one of the best things that could actually happen to them is a nice transiting Uranus square conjunction or opposition to shake and wake them up.
That's what you call it. Okay, sounds good.
Now, that may sound scary, but what it means is that some kind of crisis will occur, whether it's an accident or illness or getting fired for a job or so forth. Uranus has to do with unexpected things, so it will be something unexpected. But usually it takes some kind of crisis to realign this kind of person to what is really meaningful to them. And in times of crisis, we all reassess what is most important to us in our lives, what we want to do before our die, our values get reprioritized. And the further someone is from their purpose, generally, the more severe or dramatic the crisis will be.
Sure.
Because those are cases where a severe course correction is needed for the person to basically, from a spiritual perspective, not waste their life here. Now, from the outside, this type of bad news or tragedy can seem completely unfair, unjust, and really severe bad luck. But actually, it's a gift from the soul. It might not seem like it to the individual at the time it's happening, but it is indeed a gift from the universe because you're being given a chance to realign. And sometimes these crises are the only thing that can cut through the state of misalignment someone is currently in. So the person is given a chance to bridge the gap to reconnecting with their purpose.
So these unexpected things come up, they shock us, and then we're given an opportunity to realign. So do you have any examples of people you've worked with where this has happened?
Yes. I've worked with an extremely successful businessman, and this lifetime is a real turning point for him in the area of choosing to use his strong warrior and leadership qualities in the service of the forces of light rather than the forces of darkness. Success is not the issue for him.
The Can I just interrupt you for a second?
Absolutely.
When you talk about in the using his leadership qualities in the service of light rather than darkness, can you just say a sentence or two about that?
Absolutely. It would be, generally speaking, something that uplifts the consciousness of the planet, that brings greater love, greater abundance, greater connection.
Those are the forces of light?
Exactly.
And what would the forces of darkness be?
Forces of darkness would be anything that, you know, disconnects us from our soul purpose, makes us feel unloved, unworthy, creates any kind of suppression or oppression, inequality, along those lines.
Okay. All right. So continue. I'm sorry.
Thanks for asking. No, great question. And as I was saying, for this man, interestingly enough, success is not the issue. The issue is how he attains it and what he aligns himself with to achieve this success. So this man created an entire business structure based on a goal and desire of massive monetary gain for himself. Mm-hmm. Now, as an aside, there's inherently nothing wrong with this kind of goal. This is exactly what could be purposeful for some people to learn. But the problem for him is that it wasn't what he was working on this time around. This man is working on creating economic structures that benefit and uplift all of society or his community, not just himself. At the core, his path is about learning to serve humanity. It's not about being the monarch who's served by his kingdom. Believe me, he's revisited that in all sorts of variations in prior lifetimes. So eventually, this all came crashing down around him.
Because he kept going for working for himself, basically.
Exactly, exactly. And of course, from the outside, it looked like a total disaster. But the good news for him on a spiritual level is that this disaster cracked his heart wide open because he hit rock bottom. And this crisis ultimately gave him the opening to step beyond his ego and beyond his desire for massive personal gain and allowed him to step through into a genuine connection with his higher self. It gave him a space where he could create successful enterprises that were connected to his soul, not his ego. And where he could start to have an honest intimacy and a real heart connection in his personal relationships. And that's all a lot more satisfying to him. It's really interesting how situations can look very different through the eyes of the soul and the eyes of the ego.
But I would say then, to this person's credit, I would say if he was able to get to a place where he could start to have intimacy, you say, and real heart connection, it means that when everything came crashing down, he didn't quit, because a lot of people might just quit and maybe go into addiction or something at that point. What is it that inspires someone to keep going when they've lost everything that they thought that they were working for?
Wow.
That's a big question.
That's a really good question. I mean, in this person's instance, he had a lot of support. He had really had a long history of working on himself. So he had some real tools at hand when
so he
this
could context
happened.
It. Yeah, he could context that it.
He was aware of the opportunity, and he gave his all to go for it.
Well, that's inspirational. Well, so on that line, what makes people avoid connecting to their soul purpose in the first place, and what makes them avoid getting back on the path? That's also a broad question, but see what you can do.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, once again, it's really different with each individual, but I'll just sort of list some strong factors that I've seen that prevent this.
Sure.
Definitely, you brought it up a minute ago, addictions. Or any kind, one of the biggest obstacles I've seen. And if anyone's dealing with an addiction, they've got to deal with that before connecting with soul purpose. In astrology, the planet's alignment in the charts describes their particular energy of interaction, and we call these aspects. Sometimes energetic challenges like these to aligning with purpose do show up in a person's chart. So that's another thing. Another factor that can keep people from connecting with their soul purpose is societal and parental conditioning. We've talked about that a little bit. Also, karmic trauma and its associated fears. Lying, believe it or not, even small lies, really is a deterrent. And there, in astrology, there are certain powerful points or time crossings in our lives. They're related to what we call in astrology transits, progressions, and dosas, among other things. And the challenging ones can present a very difficult time when it can actually be easy for people to get off their path. So things like that can come up. But the one thing that's the same for everyone across the board, though, is that if you do get really far off your path, like we were talking about the gentleman, it takes intense work to reconnect with your true self. And some things that are really helpful to this process, for example, would be working with someone like you, Suzanne, who's a healer, who's highly trained, who's exceptional at what she does, doing intense and regular work. Another option could be doing something transformative in a group situation that engages and activates your higher self, something like the Hoffman process, for example.
Sure.
And whether a person chooses to work one-on-one with an individual or in a group, you still need to do something that destroys the ego and nurtures your higher self.
So basically what I'm hearing is like persistence, persistence, persistence. Like Winston Churchill says, you can never give up, basically. You just have to keep going.
Yeah, it comes back to that desire and intent.
Well, we have about 2 minutes left, but I did want to ask you something that a lot of people ask me all the time, and I thought you're the perfect person to ask, is that some people know very early on in their lives what they're called to do, and then some other people spend their lives trying to find their calling. Why is it different for every individual? And just please keep this short because I don't want to cut you off.
Yeah. Well, once again, every chart is completely different. Each soul and that soul's journey to wholeness is completely unique. I mean, talk about the mystery of creativity. But what I would most like listeners to take away today is that if you are someone who's trying to find your calling, this is the norm. You are the norm. You are not the exception. You are not alone. And also that even if you'd end up devoting your entire life to searching for this, it couldn't have been better spent in any way. The fire, dedication, devotion to that aspiration that's aligned with your deepest truth is really powerful. And it's a very powerful force to bring forward with you into your next life as well.
And what about people, just really quickly, like Mozart, who are prodigies? What about them?
Yeah. Okay, well, this is very rare, but absolutely, this is an instance when people are completing previous karma, either something that got interrupted, whether their life got short, got cut short in a prior life, or it could be about taking their gifts to another level in this lifetime. But yes, it's always shocking when someone at an astonishingly young age, like an Olympic athlete, let's say, you know, learn something or master something with very little training.
Right. And what I always say to my patients is that, well, those people are here to inspire us. They're not to make us feel, you know, shortcomings. Because particularly with Olympic athletes, I mean, those are people who put a lot of effort into what they do, and they make it seem easy and magical. But of course, we know better. Anyway, Christy, thank you so much for joining us today. Really, this has been an interesting and fascinating topic, and I hope to have you on some point in the future to keep pursuing this line of conversation. Again, anyone who's listening, Christy Walker, Master Astrologer, you can find her at celestialriver.wordpress.com. And to my listeners, again, this is my last show for a while, so thank you so much for listening. As always, I say knowledge is power, and please make use of the knowledge you've learned today. I appreciate you for listening, and much love to you all. Take care.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. Please join Suzanne Hill for another edition of the Healing Power Hour next Wednesday at 11 a.m. in the West, 2 p.m. in the East, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a healthy week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.